Chip.
So I don't know if there's any.
We sent out the copy.
Okay.
And they also have a copy of the email that we sent to the Erie reader this morning asking them to remove the article. So
Well, so we became aware of, you know, I'm not going to give it the dignity to call it a newspaper. It's a sidewalk drop. What I'm trying to figure out, if I'm an advertiser paying for advertising, why would I ever pay to be in this? There's no circulation, there's no subscription. It's supposedly printed, and I think the number of copies they say were from 13,000 to 15,000 printed on some type of whatever they choose to print. But as a person who's bought advertising all my life, I would never invest in something where there's no certification of what's out there. Now, having said that, everybody has the ability to say whatever they want to say. In the position that I'm in, you can't be libeled. Anybody can say anything about you they want. They can tell a lie, they can stretch the truth, they can do anything they want, and they feel protected in that they can say that. And I actually thought when I first heard this, I said, I've never heard of this publication. And then I looked into it, and I thought, well, the reason you never heard of it, because it's self-published. And again, I question why anybody would invest in advertising in something like that. I certainly, in the business I've been in all my life, I always look for a return on my investment. This just seems to be somebody's game that they get to play. Look, we're at a point in this country where people are losing their faith and confidence and trust in our system. And when people can print whatever they print, whenever they want to print it, and be a blatant, outright lie, and then sit back to see how you're going to respond to it, my response to it is they don't deserve a response. And my opponent in this race, if he cannot talk about the issues that are facing America today, this is another one of these things. I look at everything that's happening, whether it's in the nation's capital or right here in our city. All this action is about distraction. When you can't fill up your car or truck because the price is too high, when you can't go to a grocery store and buy the groceries that you need to buy to feed your family, not just because the prices are too high, but because there is no supply. When you can look at that and watch what's happening, when you can watch, in a few weeks, by the way, I want you just to remember about a year ago, the United States withdrawal from Afghanistan. We left over $80 billion in military assets on the ground for the enemy to take over. We took our armed forces out, with the exception of the 13 who died trying to protect those who were trying to leave. We left our citizens there, and we left our friends there, shamefully pulled out. But by doing that, we set an example for the rest of the world to look at as the United States is no longer going to be strong and is no longer going to be there for you. They will leave at any time. They're not going to be keeping their commitments, at least this current administration. So, look, we've got a lot going on right now. I've sat and watched the destruction of the American economy. You have, too. When people say, well, what would you do about it? Well, domestic supply. Why would you shut down your domestic supply and then spend time running around the world asking for the worst actors and those who wish for you to fail to please produce more energy because we refuse to produce our own? That's a fool's errand. And that's a disservice to our citizens, especially the 1.5 million men and women in uniform who have died to protect this model. And I would just say this. Our pulling out of Afghanistan turned us back on 20 years of service by our men and women in uniform to protect us. For 20 years, they protected us. Many of them feel betrayed. Many of them feel that their time was not spent well, that they've been, that was just a waste, and that they lost friends there, and that we have members of the military that have been injured, wounded, and will recover to some extent, but not fully. And if that's the image that we want to put around the country today, no wonder Americans are sitting back and wondering, this is not the country that my mother and dad left me. This is not what my grandparents and my great-grandparents did. And this is not the reason why 1.5 million men and women in uniform fought and gave their lives for this. So, look, this is a distraction. This whole piece is just a distraction. There's not one bit of truth in it. And I would just challenge those of you in the media or journalists Why don't you vet it? Don't ask me my opinion. I'm going to ask you, what's your opinion? You know, these people compete against you for readership and for listenership and for viewership. Is that really who you want to compete against? The chairman? Are you kidding me? The chairman of the Democrat Party in Erie is the author of a blatant lie? And you want me to reply to it?
Didn't you call the press
conference? Shame on it. Shame on it. Yes, I am here.
You
yeah,
called
I'm
the press conference.
I believe, yes.
So,
now,
wait,
no,
can I ask
me,
a question?
Excuse me.
I want to ask a question.
No, you can ask a question when I say it's time to ask questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Believe me, I know the position I'm in, and I know you guys can print anything you want. You can edit anything you want. You can clip art, and you can do anything
you
want.
Pictures.
Please, I'm speaking. We are here today to challenge my opponent to come out and condemn this type of campaigning issue. I want to see if character truly does count. And if it counts, it's not a Republican issue, it's not a Democrat issue, it's an American issue. Our process, the whole way we elect people is in great stress right now because people don't have faith and trust and confidence. It's that simple. I can't say it any simpler than that. If you don't get that, then I'm wasting my breath and you're wasting your time. At the end of the day, the truth should count. And character should count. And so if I have an opponent that sits back and doesn't respond to it and says, oh, I think that's okay because he's attacking, they're attacking my opponent. Are you kidding me? The one thing I will take a minute, though, to talk to you about, and really positive, you know, we have a staff, a congressional staff of about 15 people that go to work every day to serve the needs of the people that we represent. And that's not Republicans, by the way. That's almost 750,000 people who need help navigating a very difficult federal system. So I think for me to stand here and say, you know, well, this is just about me, it's not about me. It's about you. And it's about 750,000 people who expect in a representative republic to have a voice to be heard. And that's all we're looking for. And the other thing I'm looking for is actually the truth in one campaign. So please, let's get away from the distractions. Let's get away from the fact that our cost of living has gone off the charts right now, that our incomes can't keep up with it. You know, the average income for the people that live in Pennsylvania's 16th Congressional District, family of four, is $54,000. That's the average. Many live below that level. So think of the stress that has been put on them with this inflation. The greatest inflation we've seen in over 40-some years. And it's not getting any easier. It's getting harder every day for everybody. And as we get towards the end of the summer, into the fall, and into the winter, I would just tell you, I think we figure out there's probably 35 or 40% of the people we represent actually rely on propane for their energy source. Now, when we talk about propane, people think, are you talking about that little canister that I have on my gas grill that I cook hot dogs and hamburgers with? And no, this is the energy source for a lot of the people that live in this. That has gone up almost 60%. And these are incomes that are already stretched beyond the limit. So I think that, Mel, unless there's anything else that we have to cover that I haven't covered, I would just challenge you all. Please don't ask me to vet this article for you. Vet it yourself and find out who it is that wrote it. And find out. So if the sidewalk drop with really no...
Why didn't you go pick it up?
Numbers, excuse me, I'm still speaking. I know you... I'll give you a chance. And you can, I don't know who you represent, by the way, but I'm sure it's somebody very, very strong. Let's just make sure that we're keeping our eye on the ball and making sure that our fellow citizens actually have the ability to enjoy what's left of the summer and going into the fall and the winter, be able to know they can meet those bills. So I think that's what I wanted to cover. I just wanted to be sure. And again, I won't even disclose the article. I won't even disclose I don't want to say publisher because this is just something that people do in order to get their name out. But the author of the piece, and you should know this, is the chairman of the Democrat GOP party here in Erie. So that's hardly an independent source. That's pretty much it. So is there anything else we want to cover?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
Congressman, I do have a question. You even said at the start that you didn't really think this was worth a response, but you did respond to it, as my colleague here said.
Yeah.
Well, you get criticism all the time. You're a congressman, right? I mean, it's part of the job.
Yes, it is part of the job.
Why did you feel compelled to respond to this?
Because a blatant, outright lie, to sit back and say nothing. That's worse. I won't give them the dignity even mentioning the name of the publication, but if it's an outright lie about you, you should be able to respond about it, knowing that nobody can libel me, and that's why they do these things. But I'm not going to sit back and have somebody outright lie about me and not say anything, so we can just We can just let it end at that.
I do want to ask you a follow-up, though.
Yeah, sure.
And that
first
is about...
who you represent. Sure. When you ask me a question, please identify who you are and who you represent.
I'm Matthew Rink. I'm from the Erie Times News. Same here
okay.
with my
Greg Wolford, Erie Times News.
Yeah, we print the paper in Butler, Pennsylvania, by the way.
Used to, yeah. It's all over the place. I do want to ask you because, you know, one of the things that you have been accused of is spreading lies about the 2020 presidential election.
Who's accused me, if you want to say that?
Well, I mean, I think just in general, any Congress member who voted against certification has been accused of.
In the previous elections, are you casting that same doubt on anybody that questioned the results of the 2016 election?
Well, we're not talking about.
No, you're not talking about that. That's not comfortable. So what is your question?
My question is, back on May 6th, you were at a rally down in Greensburg for Dr. Oz. President was there.
Yes.
You know, that was the last time.
Pouring down rain and it's probably 30,000.
Yes. Yes. And you said then that that there was a theft of that election. We have since heard.
Were you there?
I watched the video of it from C-SPAN.
The video?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You say I want you to think about what it costs us for the theft of that election.
Yes.
We have since heard from the January 6th committee. Testimony.
No, you know, a committee where there's no cross-examination.
Okay.
And there's nobody that's allowed to contest anything that's being said. Please don't use the January 6th. That is a distraction from what's taking place in the country right now today.
Okay.
January 6th is over. January 20th, 2020, President Biden was inaugurated and has been in office since that time.
Well,
was he properly elected? Was he properly elected in your view?
Let me ask you this. We've heard through that, whether you think it's a sham or not, from people close to the president, Attorney General Bill Barr, Pat Cipollone, and others who have said that they found no evidence that the election was stolen, that there was widespread fraud. Do you still believe...
I haven't listened to anything in the January... This so-called... investigation is taking place. I haven't listened to any of
your colleagues are holding
a hearing. But do you feel like you haven't watched any of it, but I'm sure you've heard about it.
I'm more concerned with the cost of living right now.
Do you still believe that the election was stolen? And if so, why?
Well, we're already, almost 2 years into this administration. So I think that's past tense. There's no just discussing it today. Nothing's going to change today. I stated my opinions back when it took place.
Yeah, but you've also said on May 6th that
you're a House representative. Do you have a question you want to ask me today about this publication?
I
do.
Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, no, you are also from the Erie Times?
I am.
Okay, and what's your question?
My question is, you said you were not going to honor this publication, name it.
Right.
Yet you called the press conference to ask us to look into the truth.
Yeah.
Can't you just
It's nice to
them?
See you all again, by the way.
Likewise. Can't you just reach out
in the
12 to the...
years I've been here.
Can you not interrupt me, sir, when I'm asking you a question?
Sure,
you're my elected representative.
Yeah,
I'd like the time of day.
Okay? I understand. I represent a lot of people. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of them.
We'll get to your question then, please.
So I'm asking, why don't you just reach out to the publication or the person who wrote it? You're asking us to go find the truth.
That's your job.
You don't want to bring attention
that's
to
your
it, but
job.
You call a press conference. You haven't been around
that's
in
your
two
job.
Years.
Yeah.
I say that's
I'm
calling
I'm telling
attention
you to look
it.
Into it. That's your job.
You're the one that's
no, that's your
liable.
Job. No.
Yeah.
You want me
my
to look into
here will do
a publication.
It's not my job to police other publications.
I know. It's not your job. I know what your job is, and you know what your job is. You
my job is, I'm wondering what my representative thinks about an open insurrection.
Somebody else have a question.
What is the basis of this lawsuit, and is it going forward?
No, it's that we're looking at it. I'm not saying that there is a lawsuit. I'm just saying that we need to draw attention when somebody blatantly lies about somebody who's running for an office and doesn't even look into the truth of it, and when the media doesn't look or vet this publication to say, wait a minute, we looked into this. There's nothing here. Whenever you all don't condemn it, then you're actually buying into it, and I think it's just a shame that it's a one feed. And it's like, well, you need to tell us why is that way. I said, no, that's not my job.
But it
your
is
job,
a news...
Your job, excuse me.
Sorry, yeah.
It is the job of the press, of journalists to actually look into these things and don't grab talking points and say, well, listen, we didn't look into it, we want your opinion. My opinion is it's a blatant lie, and I pointed it out this lie. And I've challenged my opponent to also say, listen, I will not participate in a blatant lie against my opponent in an election to try to discredit them. I think we've reached too far right now. Whenever we do these things, again, the faith and trust and confidence that people have to have in our system is being challenged right now. And the media, journalists' responsibility, is to expose it for what it is. So, I'm sorry, now...
Sure, just asking if you are creating some kind of a document or a statement that refutes...
Looking at
because this is an opinion piece by the Democratic chairman, and so... You know, you take it in that lens.
Yeah.
Are you going to create an opinion piece that refutes the allegations of
Bloomberg? You know what? We put up a statement on it, and we'll continue to take a look legally. What is the future?
What will it take for you to follow through on all?
After I have the advice of counsel.
And I guess, you know, if your opponent does not respond in any way, the paper is or the article is not removed from the paper, will then pursue legal action.
But I'm the ambassador of our council. We'll take a look at it. Again, this is a sidewalk drop. People don't pay for this. They probably pick it up casually. It's on the sidewalk. I guess when you go to some different places, they talk about what they distribute. All they do is drop what they printed. It's nothing that's vetted. It's just something that's dropped. And I think I have a responsibility when somebody accuses me of something to respond to it. And if I don't, then people say, you should have said something if you thought it was wrong. And when I do say I think it's wrong and I'm challenged, but well, you really shouldn't say things like that because that's not nice.
Instead,
so I just would tell on the vice counsel, we'll see going forward about that. But the real question is, if you have a political opponent in the arena with you, is he or she willing to use those type of tactics in an election? Or will they say, let's just stick to the facts, let's stick to the policy, let's stick to what's really the important things in the American people's minds right now. In our communities, we are suffering greatly because of the decisions of this current administration. So there's an old saying, you can't fix something with nothing. If you think something's not right, then you need to say something about it. You need to do something to change the direction we're going in. We are in a horrible downward spiral right now, not just in America, but globally. We are not viewed the same way as we used to be. When the President of the United States shuts down our energy sources, and then gets on an airplane and flies to the worst actors in the world to beg them to increase their production to supplement what we shut down ourselves, people should be scratching their heads and say, this just doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. So I'm not going to allow people to attack me with blatant lies and sit back and say, well, I would have said something, but I just didn't want to upset anybody. The country is where it is today is because when we know it's wrong, we need to speak out and say it's wrong. We need to defend ourselves. We need to defend that 1.5 million men and women in uniform have given their lives for our ability to talk about it, not to get into some type of a ridiculous debate about a lie that has not been vetted by the people who were supposed to vet it, and that is journalists and news media.
So, Mr. Connell.
Yes, sir.
Erie News Now.
Right.
So the article does talk about you challenging the election. I just got to ask you, why did you challenge the election in the first place?
Did any of you happen to be on the ground in 2020, November 3rd, and go out and look at where the public voting lines were and understand the amount of votes that were cast that day? The president of the United States at that time, Donald Trump, received more votes than any previous president had in a re-election. It took not the Tuesday that the election took place, but the Wednesday, Thursday, and the Friday to collect votes from around the Commonwealth and count them. These were no excuse mail-in ballots. My question, and again, I mean, people ask me questions about it all the time. Was that election based on an amendment to our Constitution and the process we have to elect people? And if you don't know that, then please, you can't continue the conversation with me. And I wonder sometimes is how deep did you look, not you, I'm just making a general statement, how deep did we look to see what happened on January the 3rd, 2020?
Why?
Because it didn't take place on November the 3rd, 2020. We had votes that came in the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th. But those votes from drop boxes, excuse me, from drop boxes that had nobody observing what was going on, had no idea what was taking place, but said, well, you know, we changed our voting process. I said, really? Do you know what it takes to change your voting process? And if you don't know it, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Look it up for yourself. It takes an amendment to Pennsylvania's Constitution. That did not take place. So I placed everything I questioned that day on an unamended voting change that took place in Pennsylvania. That's what my argument was. And I think that in some cases, some of you looked into it, some of you didn't, obviously. Take a look at it. If you can tell me that it was constitutional, what Pennsylvania did in November of 2020 when it came to our voting process, then I'll be glad to look at that.
Are you suggesting that none of Pennsylvania's election laws can be changed without a constitutional amendment? And second, why...
First of all, you understand the reason for a constitution.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you understand that the new voting process that was put in was an unconstitutional change to our voting process. That's a yes or no, by the way.
Well, that's your opinion.
No, it's not my opinion. No, it's not my opinion. Well, okay, so the answer is you don't know.
What
were you going to ask
why
me?
Why didn't you challenge Act 77 the election?
I did. You have to look into the history.
Why did so many Republicans, do you think...
I have no idea. I don't serve in the state. I don't serve the state legislature. Oh.
Okay.
So, but I'm going to suggest that please don't take this the wrong way. Look up the voting process and look up what the amendment process is to the Pennsylvania Constitution. That will really settle a lot of the questions you have. It's just a little bit of knowledge about how it actually works. Anybody else?
I actually
No, that's okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
If you're saying to not believe or read the misinformation that's in that article, I'm asking you directly just to report the truth. Did you, in fact, ask for a pardon?
Did you read the article?
Yeah.
You didn't read the article. Read the article to see what the article says.
I thought you were saying not to read the article.
No. I've said you all have a duty to read it, and then you don't ask me to interpret the article for you. Yeah. I know what's in the article. No. I would just say this. Excuse me. Okay. Look through the whole article. And when you look for a reference of why my name's included, ask the author how you came up with this
list. I'm asking you right now, though, did you in fact ask for a pardon?
No, and I'm telling you, read the article, because I was never interviewed for it.
Unrelated to the article.
But what would the article be based on? Fact?
I'm just asking you directly.
No, I know, and I'm answering you directly, please. I'm not going to answer it for you. I want you to read the piece, and then I want you to look into the background of whoever authored that article. Was how did you come up with these statements?
Okay.
No, seriously, that's not a hard job. We know who wrote the article. We know what the article said. And we know the content of the article. Then the question is, that content, is that really valid, or is that something you just decided to put in there? You'd have to ask the author, and if he can show you anything that verifies what he wrote, then you say, okay, fine, I understand that, but I don't think it's fair to ask me what my opinion is, because my opinion is based on the fact of I read the article, I know what the process is, and I know that it's blatantly false. I shouldn't have to explain that. All have a deeper responsibility than to just pick up something that's a sidewalk drop and say, you know what? There may be some truth to this. I think I'm going to ask who? Ask the author, and then find out what were your sources for this?
She is asking you as a source. We're not talking about
the source. I'm not the source. But you know better. This, you've done this your whole life. This isn't your first rodeo. No.
But are you saying there's no letter that mentions you to Mo Brooks?
I'm saying, have you read?
I read the article twice.
Okay, and what does it say?
Something about a letter to Mo Brooks.
From
a letter. From.
Who's Mo Brooks?
From Mo Brooks.
Who's Mo Brooks?
He's a congressman in Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. So have you seen Mo Brooks's letter?
I have not seen the letter.
Okay. No. All right. I think I would suggest that you take a look at Mo Brooks's letter and say, I looked this over.
Okay. Mr. Kelly, we have you. I got to ask you. I know Senator Johnson. He says your office gave him a slate of fake electors. Yeah. Your response to that?
Well, I think we've already responded to it. We've already responded.
So not to us.
Well, you all share this. You see the same thing I see. I'm not trying to be argumentative with you, but Ron Johnson, I met in 2011 or 2012. and we talked briefly. He had just come into the Senate, and I had just come into the House. And we just sat at a table, listened to our briefing, and that's the only time I've ever talked to Senator Johnson. And so as I look at what we're talking about now, it's just, there's nothing that I've seen that would even suggest that that took place. And the other thing about that is, from what I understand from reading, what all has been printed about it, the slate was never presented to anybody. So it's kind of a non-event.
Have you, you launched an internal investigation?
Yeah, with our own staff, yes.
Okay, and that's no longer active?
I can't see anything that happened on our staff.
Okay.
We've talked about it and said, you know, does anybody know anything about this? And the answer was no. We really don't know anything about it. But we're talking about something that is alleged to have happened back in 2021. This is now July of 2022. And it's a non-event. It never happened.
Your chief of staff, Tim Butler, I did see, I think, in a Politico report, did acknowledge that this was two former employees.
I don't know.
Your chief of staff and another unnamed employee.
No, I've never seen that.
Okay. Have you had a conversation with either of those employees since all this came up?
We may
have. Was that part of your...
Because people change jobs all the time. I haven't talked to any of them in depth on anything since...
Okay.
But you just said something that's really important. So you're saying Tim Butler said what?
I'd have to pull up the arc. I don't have to write
for you. I'll pull it up. But
there was an acknowledgement that the former chief of staff, Matt Stroya,
but you say
received this slate.
And I just answered you, but you said you referenced that there was an acknowledgement. My question is, who acknowledged it?
As I said, Mr. Butler.
Mr. Butler acknowledged that.
That this involved two employees who are no longer with your office.
Okay.
Internal investigation?
I've never had that discussion with
Mr.
Butler.
Did you reach out?
I've never had that discussion with Mr. Butler. And you said this is what, in Politico?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you reach out to either of those two former employees?
No, I've been more concentrated, I think, on current legislation. We've had the things that are a lot more, to me, that affect this district directly. That we've been concentrating on. A lot of this cost of living, which we've already talked about. We've talked about global chains and all the rest of the delivery systems that's been on that thing. We've talked about globally what's going on and the dangers that we're facing right now. I really don't dwell on stuff that happened almost 2 years ago.
But you had an internal investigation. You haven't talked to
and I just employees. And I just told you, I've already answered that question.
Well,
so
I'm just wondering.
You're referring to a political article that I haven't read, so I'll have to read the article first and see what's
going on.
And I'll talk to Mr. Butler about it.
So you're not familiar with Matt Stroya's role in all this, or alleged role in all of this?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So if you're not familiar with that role, did anybody from your office, current or former, have anything to do with these slates
of electors?
Nobody made any mention to you about this at the time?
Well, we knew this was going on, that Ron Johnson had said something. That story's changed several times. I don't know if you're following it. And how close you're falling, but it's a non-event. It's a non-event. Nothing ever took place.
Nothing ever took place.
There was no exchange of any slate. Okay. I think that's what you're referring to. Let's get to the details. It's about something about a slate of electors. Now, I don't know what, when Ron Johnson talks about that, I don't know what his office was doing at that time. I just know that we never had, to my knowledge, ever had a slate of electors from Wisconsin. Why would Pennsylvania have access to Wisconsin's electors? I don't know that anybody's ever asked themselves that question. So I think we're beating a horse that's not going to move.
I wonder.
What is it that you're hunting for? Just be real direct.
I'm just trying to.
I think we've already answered.
We've asked for interviews.
Yeah, we've asked you many times. How many times do you want an answer?
I've wanted an interview for a couple weeks.
Interview who?
You.
Interview me, and I just answered it. You're asking me something I've already answered. So does somebody else have a question?
Had you been made aware of that at the time, how would you have responded?
Actually, I do.
Have
I'm sorry. Yes?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah.
We'll do this. It's the last one. So
yeah.
Okay. To get moving.
We're all kind of here because of the election challenge, the article, everything like that.
But that's not why you're here.
But would you have said Donald
Trump
won?
That's not why you're here. That's not why you're here.
You invited us.
Yeah, to discuss what?
A blatant lie
that's been printed in some local publication that's a sidewalk drop. It's not a real newspaper. It's just a sidewalk drop that some advertisers foolishly invested And I'm sure they don't pay that much for it, but they should expect a better result than what they're getting. That's what we're here for. Now, if you have questions
but about it, if you challenge the election.
I've already answered these questions. I mean, how many times do you want to ask it over and over and over again? I do not believe, I would be very frank about this, I've never walked away from it. The election of 2020 has many questions about how that was handled. My question, and if any of you don't understand this, please go back and look what I challenged on. I challenged on a change to our amendments, the Pennsylvania's Constitution, that was not followed. If you want to change the voting process, you can do it, but there's a process to do it. It's called an amendment to the Constitution.
How does that amount
to that? My question has always been, why? How did we change our voting process without doing an amendment to the Constitution? Are none of you concerned about that? I mean, does the Constitution mean nothing to anybody?
How does that amount to theft?
What other question?
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court put that aside and said that Act 77 was valid and that the vote was valid.
No, they didn't even look at it. Take a deeper dive on that. You're going to find out.
Everybody who voted by mail, their vote should be disenfranchised?
Take a look at what actually happened legally. What happened? It's a 5-2 court, as you know.
Right.
The bigger question for me always was when it got to the Supreme Court of the United States, 3 out of the 9 justices wanted to look at it. They needed one more justice to look at it. The fact that the court would not even look at it is what, again, leads to people thinking, my gosh, if the last arbiter of what happened refused to even look at it, that's a bigger problem. There's a reason why we have judges. There's a reason why we have justices. There's a reason we're allowed a deep dive into what happened and to question it. The refusal to even look at it adds to that loss of trust and faith and confidence. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. I don't know that any of you read the Pennsylvania Constitution and what you'd have to do to change your voting process. I am very disappointed, by the way, in the Pennsylvania legislature. They had a responsibility for their oath of office. If you want to change our voting laws, you can do it. You have to amend our Constitution. They short-circuited it, too. That's just the way it happened, though.
I have a question that has nothing to do with the Erie Reader or the election. It has to do with your 2 votes this week in the House. So very, very timely.
Yes. Very timely.
You issued a statement on the Marriage Act that was... And you
when
said,
did it take place?
On Wednesday? Tuesday?
I think yesterday, but go ahead.
Yesterday was contraception.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, but this week we had a series of those. By the way, most of those things were decided long before that. It wasn't a question. There was already laws on the books. There was already things decided by the Supreme Court of the United States of America defending these things. So it's a non-issue. It's a distraction from what's taking place. You know it.
Understood.
Yeah.
But why did you vote? I'll give you that. Okay, just for the sake of argument.
Just for the sake of argument.
It's a political ploy by the Democrats.
Yes.
As you've said.
Yes.
Okay. Why did you vote no on one and present on the other?
Because after that first vote, I said, why are we falling into this pattern that we are going to object to things that are already on the books and law in order for the Democrats to somehow change the nation's view of what's happening in the country right now? It's a distraction. It had nothing to do with real legislation. You know that. And in fact, you just said this was just a ploy by the Democrats.
I'm giving you that argument.
Oh, well,
I'm not saying I agree with it.
No, of course not. Of course you won't.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, what? What do you say?
I just wondered why the difference in vote.
I looked at it again, I said, why would we even vote and give this question the dignity of the fact that members of the Congress sat down and debated this issue when it has already been decided and is passed?
Well, isn't the concern, though, that law that has been established by the Supreme Court could, in fact, get overturned, as we saw with Roe v. Wade?
So what do you see that's taking place?
Well,
you don't.
Don't tell me you're buying into that argument.
Okay. Do you, what do you think? What do you think of Clarence Thomas? So you don't think Clarence Thomas?
I think you're going down a road you don't need to go down. So somebody that has a legitimate question.
What are your thoughts, though, on Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion?
Is somebody that has a legitimate question?
Asked for this to be reopened.
Okay. Listen, good being with you. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the weekend. Take a real deep look, and if you have an opportunity, actually take a look at Pennsylvania's Constitution and U.S. Constitution. And don't ask me, look for yourself. And on all these things you're talking about today, please, you vet them. Don't ask me to vet them for you. But I will respond. If somebody tells a blatant lie about me, I think I'd be a fool to sit back and not respond to it. But the bigger question is, my opponent in this race, what is it that he's willing to do when it comes to an election? Is he willing to go down that path and say, well, they can do anything they want. They can lie about my opponent. They can put anything in the papers that they want. I'm not going to challenge it. I just think there's a bigger challenge out there. Yes, okay. Hey, thank you all for being here. I hope you enjoy the weekend.
There you go.
Stay healthy. Stay in America. Okay. See you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you all.
How are you doing?